work. Don't spend your money for pleasure. Find pleasure in doing something that don't cost. Don't have an appetite just to go shopping. Oh, I just can't stand it. I just ran down here at Fields at the Kmart. Oh, I just got to go. Monkey Ward's got another one. Here you go. Our appetites need to conform to the Word of God. The Bible said if she lives in pleasure, she's dead while she liveth. That means man or woman, either one. We're dead. We got an old myth, tithing, you know. Tithing, oh, we give God 10%. Now, that's a lot of foolishness. That might have been all right back in the Old Testament, but it's not all right under this dispensation. God don't command us to tithe under this dispensation. He commands us to give all. In Mark 10, 28, Peter said unto Jesus, lo, we've left all and have followed thee. Jesus answered and said, verily I say unto you, there's no man that hath left house or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake in the Gospels. He didn't mean just leave them. He meant to give them up. But he'll receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions. And in the world to come, eternal life, for many that are first shall be last, and the last first. We need to put God in our business, in our family life, in our investment program, in anything we do, that we give God at least 20 to 50% of our income, because the tithe is nothing that belongs to you to begin with. Why do you even count it yours? People call off and put 10%. You haven't given God a penny. That belongs to God all the time. He just permitted you to get that as your partner in your business. You ain't give God nothing. Where's yours? What do you do with your money? 10%. Oh, I gave 10%. I say baloney. That's God's money. Where does yours go? We need to get on down deep enough with God that we consider God a pure old partner with us. I believe a partner is supposed to get, how much is that a partner gets? 20%? I'd like to have that kind of partnership in almost anything, wouldn't you? Yeah, that'd be sort of kind of be enviable to have that kind of business. Brother Reed gets 20 and Miss Toss gets 80. Hallelujah. That'd be quite a partnership. But that ain't the way it works. When you're a partner, I believe it means you cut the apple in half. Oh, I get the big half. That's where everybody hoops and hollers at God. I get the big half, God. Boy, I tell you, I used to know how to cut them apples too. Me and my sister, boy, back during the Depression, we'd get an apple, brother. That's just like Christmas. You got an apple, and I'd cut that apple. Let me cut that apple. I'd go get that apple. I could cut that apple where it was in half. I mean, it's in two pieces, but it wasn't half. And I'd give her the little half, and I'd get the big half. Praise God. That's the way we like to treat God, but it's not going to work. It's not going to work. You're not going to get the full benefit. You're not going to get the reward. You're not going to get the blessing, the joy, the peace, and all of that that goes along with it. Jesus told us again and again to give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For the same measure you give, I'll measure it back to you again. You give in a thimble, I'll give you a thimble full back at the time. You use a cup, I'll give you back with a cup full through men. You use a water bucket, I'll say, here, son, here's, let me use that water bucket and put it back to you. Then you get a wash tub and you begin to bail it in. The Lord said, here, boy, good grief in this world. Here it comes back. Get ready for it. We've given by the thimble fools and squeezed God down to 10% till it's an abomination of God. God said in Amos 5:21, I hate, I despise your feast days. I will not smell in your assemblies. Though you offer me burnt offerings and your meat offerings, I'll not accept them. Neither will I regard the peace offerings of your fat beasts. Here they come and they pile that old meat up on the altar and burn it, and it smell went up. And if it was offered right, the right amount, the right condition, the Lord, when Noah got out of the ark, his brother Tilly said, the first thing he did was build an altar to the Lord and took one of those clean beasts, of which he had seven of each instead of two of each, and he offered an offering, and the Bible said the Lord smelled it. He said, that smells good. Why? Because Noah was a perfect man. And he walked with God. And he would listen and preach holiness. And the Lord said he smelled it as a sweet savor. And he says, oh, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to put a rainbow up in the sky. And I'm going to tell Noah and his boys they ain't never worry about another flood again. I won't never do this. As long as there's a man on the earth, I'll never destroy him like I've destroyed every living thing again. God smells something from a perfect man, from a holy man that would walk with him, that gave everything he had. He didn't give just part. He gave everything to save his family. He put it all into that ark. Do you think he went down and borrowed from the First National to give to God and he got it from somewhere? No, he didn't. He got everything, him and his boys and his granddaddy and daddy and everybody else had, and he put it in that ark to the saving of his house. The rest was around spending their money supporting them old blabbermouth preachers, those perverted preachers making spiritual perverts, those who were subverting the people and overthrowing their established faith in God, in the Word of God. They turned them away from that message Noah was preaching, preparing half-heartedly, investing a little bit. When Noah was putting everything he had, time, effort, money and everything, to the salvation of his house. And back to Amos 5:23, he said, take thou away from me the noise of thy songs. When you don't live like I tell you and do what I tell you, I don't want to hear you sing. I won't hear the melody of your vials. I don't want to hear that old organ piano playing. Unless you let judgment run down as waters and righteousness as a mighty stream. Said, then play that organ. Sing to me in my ears. I like the noise of your songs. I like the melody of your vials. I like the way you sing, because it's out of the heart of love. What is love? He that hath my words and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. John 14:21, Jesus said, we're going to make love to God. Then we walk with him and study that word. We listen to it and live it fully. If a preacher's going to walk with God, get the book here, the book of God's love, and preach that word faithfully. And let people know this is the love of God, that you keep his commandments. For if you say you love him and you don't do what he says, you're a liar. And you don't really love God. Friends, a man that loves you is a fellow that's going to tell you the truth. I wouldn't trust a doctor if I was going to the doctor. And I'd known that bird would lie to people and say, hey, you can't tell your husband he's dying. Don't you tell your mama she's dying. She's got a cancer. She's going to be gone a few days. But don't tell her, it'll shock her to death. And there she's dying all the time. And that's something going to shock her to death when she's dying. Stupid doctors. We got preachers, though, more foolish than that. And people by the millions that listen to those smooth little voices to get their money. Oh, I've got the thing right over here, dear ones. One of these days, we're all going to be up there together. Not if you listen to him, you're not. You ain't going to be up there together. I tell you, you better take heed to what you hear, like Jesus said, and hear this message, and move with fear. For God sent it to you in the Spirit of the Lord. Let us pray. Father, I pray that you'll grip every heart and soul in this message and honor the word. May it be the meditation of every heart and sink down and prevail. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.